Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of October, and I'm recording at 10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in damp London. Okay. Well, the bulls are definitely in charge here today. Let me start with stock markets and with the Asia-Pacific region. Japan had another strong day to the upside with the Nikkei 225 up over 1.5%. Now, in the China region, the mainland China indices are still closed. I assume they're opening tomorrow, but I was also surprised to see they didn't open here today. But at any rate, they were closed today, but we've had some more good action among the Hong Kong indices. For instance, the Hang Seng index was up another 1.62% today, and the China Enterprise index was up 2.03% here today. So very steady action, and most of these markets were higher. Taiwan was up over 0.5%, nearly 2/3 of a percentage point. Korea, South Korea, also higher. Australia, good gain here, nearly 2%. India, very strong, up over 2% on both the Nifty and the BSE Sensex index. Elsewhere, let's see, Singapore is strong, up over 2%. Malaysia looks like 1.15%. Thailand, 1.25%. Indonesia, that gets the cake here today, 3.23% to the upside. So a lot of buying. Now, what's also interesting here is that these emerging market commodity exporting countries. Now, the ones in the Asia-Pacific region are not exclusively commodity exporters, as you know, but they have nevertheless suffered very weak currencies in here, and that applies certainly to Thailand and Indonesia and Malaysia. Their currencies have been extremely weak. Not India, currency's been firm. China's also currency's relatively firm. But the so-called formerly called little tigers have had extremely weak currencies. And if I extend this, the pure commodity producing countries, and I'm thinking now a lot of those South American countries, now they have seen their currencies fall dramatically. Now that's good, that it helps them to get through a bad crisis, but I think that also what we've seen in the markets is that there have been some very big short positions, and I think some aggressive institutional traders have been short the currencies of these commodity producing countries, and they have also been short the commodities. Now we're starting to see some covering, particularly in the currencies, so those currencies have all steadied sharply in the last couple of weeks, and really what it looks like, certainly a trend ending in terms of the previous weakness that they were seeing against the US dollar. So again, we know how much the institutions can push these markets, some of these markets around. That's certainly been the case in here. And looks like those positions are being unwound, at least partially unwound, and we may see some further reactions in line with that unwinding, which is also helping confidence in the markets somewhat. Okay. Now, going back to these global stock markets here, and the European markets were even stronger. A lot of good gains overall, over 3%, a number of them over 3%. I just run through those very quickly. Euro stocks 50 up 3 1/3 percentage points. CAC 40, that's France, up 3.5%. Germany was smaller, but it's still a big gain, 2.74%. Spain up 3.83%. That's the biggest, looks like. And Netherlands up 3.39%. Let's see. Switzerland up 2.65. Sweden up 3.12%. So very, very big gains here in Europe. And then on Wall Street, which was so strong on Friday after that incredibly dramatic day, having weakened very early on and then moved steadily higher and closing up near the highs. Well, the Dow ha added another 1.85%. It's up to 16,776. The S&P up another 35 points and change. That's up 1.83%. And the NASDAQ slightly less, but up over, this is the NASDAQ composite, up over 1.5%. So good gains. And Canada, which has been a weak market of late, but up nearly 1.6%. Mexico up over 1.9%. And Brazil up 1.2%. So the bulls, again, as I say, firmly in charge here. Clearly, some short covering, some aggressive short covering, I would say, or unwinding of short positions. And almost certainly, clearly, some bargain hunting here for some of these depressed markets overall. What does that mean? To me, it means you take all these indices and they have reached the easy comment is that they've reached lows of at least near-term significance. More importantly, though, and I'll take my lead not from the commodity indices, although it's good that they're performing, but from Wall Street, that's the really important one here overall. And the result is that we have a higher reaction low. Remember, we had that very sharp sell-off on Wall Street. It was shortly after I went on holiday. Seems like ages and ages ago. But I went on holiday on the 20th, and then there was a downside collapse. And I think that was on the 24th. And over the 24th, 25th, and 26th of August, we saw, of course, that plunge on the 24th, and then over the next couple of days, we saw a very sharp rebound from those lows, and that left those important levels, which I highlighted on the Markets Now presentation, which I put out last Tuesday, and most of the indices have held above those levels and rallied sharply. And the only ones in the US that moved slightly lower, let's see, the Russell 2000 moved slightly lower, but it didn't maintain it. I can't remember whether it was transports or utilities that moved slightly lower, but again, didn't maintain it. But more importantly, the two NASDAQ indices show sharply higher lows, and the S&P and the Dow, they also show those higher lows. So that's really quite encouraging. They're getting up to some levels where people would either expect some resistance, or if this market continues to rally at the same pace, and it's going to take a breather here fairly soon, certainly. Certainly, at some point this week, but where people had been fearing, a lot of people had been worrying about a big bear market. Well, all we've seen on Wall Street, if you're just going based on the S&P, is a correction of I think about 12.5% for the S&P 500 index, and now you've got the higher low, which is encouraging, very much indicating that demand is coming back into these markets. So overall, yes, of course, we're still in October. That's a scary market for a lot of people. Well, it's not just for a lot of people, it's for everybody. But Wall Street has a beg your pardon, October has a bad reputation in terms of big sell-offs and so on. But the point I would emphasize here is that while we certainly have had some real volatility and some frightening developments, and you know that that causes people to start extrapolating downward trends and to start worrying about all sorts of things that could be going wrong out there. But it's hard to extrapolate downward trends if you've tacked on a rising low. And that's exactly what we now clearly see on those US charts and a number of the European charts as well. So, my guess is that we've seen the lows on Wall Street, and if we get through October without any additional damage, let alone if we get through October with and stock markets push somewhat higher in here. And after all, investors are only going to panic so many times in a trading range. Then you know, we will see a reconfirmation of the overall bull market in coming months. So there we are, not quite the end of the world, based on the action that we've seen here more recently. Okay, well, what else is going on? In government bond markets, this is interesting. The U.S. 10-year closed here tonight at 2.056, 2.056. Now, the important thing is, though, that when that dive to the downside, and we're just talking about last week, I think last Friday was the big sell-off day, but the low on Friday was just about identical to the low in that we'd seen in August on that bond yield chart, and I've described that as looking like a type 3 ranging time and size base formation overall. Well, it still looks like that, and so we haven't had a lower low in here. We've just had it came back down, touched that exact same low, and then bounced up off it. The VIX index, that's come down further. It's now back below 20 at 19.54. That's again, they're you know, it's a nervous environment out here. It'd only take one day to the downside to get people worrying, or one sharp day to the downside is to get people worrying again overall. But well, I've already said it. Chances are we've seen the not only the worst, but that we've seen the lows for these for most of these markets. Okay, now in currencies. Well, I mentioned those commodity producers just their currencies, which had been in free fall, rebounding on no doubt on short covering. The dollar was a little stronger in here, the dollar index, that is 96.06. And looking at sterling is a little bit soft. I think wonder if George Osborne is Chancellor is engineering that down a little bit because he was worried about sterling weakness. Well, at any rate, we don't have sterling weakness here today. The well, it is slightly weaker. I beg your pardon. So the euro is at 1.1190. That's down 26 ticks. Sterling is down 39 ticks to 1.5146. Just to reiterate that point, in case I confused you in my own confusion for a moment there, the UK will not want to see sterling appreciating against the euro because most of the UK's trade is with the euro, and that's a weak economic region. So weakness or strength, rather, of sterling would hurt relative to the euro, would hurt our competitiveness. Now, again, the Indian rupee firm, and China renminbi also recovering a little bit more of what was called a devaluation, but it was a very small devaluation. And elsewhere, the precious metals, mostly a little bit steadier. Palladium, though, couldn't hold its higher levels. It was up over 700. I think it was up around 712, 713, but it's trading after hours here at 692, so that's down over $5. Silver is firmer, though, at $15.63. That's up 37 cents. And platinum also up $5.50 to 915. Gold a wee bit weaker, $3 weaker at 1135 and change. Crude oil. This is potentially important. The Brent is up $1.08 to 49.21, testing the upper side of the range here. Break a little above 50, and you could see some more short covering there. And we also have the WTI at 46, 46.20. Excuse me. That's up 66 cents. I mean, my feeling really is that there's more upside than downside over the next few months for crude oil at these levels. I think we're definitely seeing some cutbacks in response to the low prices that have been in the market. And I think GDP growth is going to pick up. I heard someone saying on, can't remember whether it was, I think it was on Bloomberg this morning when I was in the gym, somebody saying that the plunge in commodity prices and in those commodity indices that caused such economic havoc for those countries said that it had knocked a couple of points off global GDP growth. That sounds too much to me, but it certainly was a negative factor and an important negative factor, and it meant that those same countries had less money to spend, as I've mentioned before. So that also hurt the developed economies as well. What we do know on the medium to longer term basis is that these lower energy prices are a bull factor for certainly households and most businesses, if not all businesses. And that's good news. But the dramatic news has been the sharp meltdown in the commodity producing economies. And then when you get back to the households that are all benefiting from the lower energy price, well, they don't necessarily go out and spend anything they've saved there. They may not know if it's going to last or not, or they may have paid down some debt or whatever. So it takes more time. But if you have an era of lower energy prices, and that's what I expect as a result of these weaker prices for fossil fuels. That is a bullish tailwind for the global economy. Okay, what else to mention? Industrial metals were a little bit mixed in here today, and grains and beans slightly firmer. Coffee getting a good gains in here today, and lumber I see also firmer. Again, that CCI index had an small upward dynamic in here today. Looks like we'll get more short covering and a bit more of a recovery. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.